out. Lord, that might be a little thing for other areas, but for us, it's a big deal. So thank you for the sunshine. And Lord, we're just so grateful to you. You are so good to us, Lord, how you love us, how you provide for us, how you guide us, how you keep us, protect us. Lord, we can go on and on and on about your goodness in our lives and just how great you are, how awesome you are. So, Lord, all we can say is thank you, and we can say we love you and we praise you. And, Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Would you speak to us so clearly through your word, through your spirit, Lord, wherever it is that we're at, you know, Lord, it's Lord, so simple for you to speak to an individual in the middle of the crowd, like that's the only person here, and you do that. You do that so often in our lives. So, Lord, we're here. Your servants are listening. We pray. Speak to us through your spirit. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to see all of you. If you have your Bibles with you, please open up to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. If you are here for the first time, welcome. Glad to have you all. Welcome to Calvary Chapel Estacada. Will you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word? God's Word, verse 26, chapter 20, verse 26 says, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. You may be seated. We have been going through the book of Acts in our study, verse by verse study. And we find ourselves this morning picking up really in the middle of a farewell address, Paul's farewell address, similar to Moses' farewell address. He has gone on three missionary journeys where God has led him, direct him, and he has been faithful to share the word of God with the people that God has put in front of him. He has been faithful to share, whether it's in public, whether it's in private homes, whatever the situation, it has cost him dearly. It has cost him his health. It has cost him. He has received beatings. He has been shipwrecked. He has been, there's been so many things that have happened to him. And there are many more things that will happen to him from this point on. Where we find ourselves this morning is Paul is in Miletus. He's making his way to Jerusalem by way of Syria, and he has stopped there. He didn't want to stop in Ephesus. Remember with me that he spent 3 years there. He spent 3 years, over 2 years in the school of Tyrannus, teaching them daily. And he didn't want to stop in Ephesus because he knew he was going to be delayed. He loved these people. I mean, he has built such a relationship. And the Bible says that the word of God went out through all of Asia while he was there. There was such an effect that God's word had on the region that people would come, hear the word of God, they would get saved, they would be discipled by Paul, and they would go out and plant churches, and it went out through all the region. Now, Paul is heading to Jerusalem, but the Holy Spirit has spoke to him. He has shown him. He says, you know, Paul, chains, prison, and tribulation, hardships await you. And Paul says, you know, I don't know what's ahead. I can't see the future, but the only thing I know for certain is that the Holy Spirit has shown me that prison awaits, that tribulation and difficulties await me. He doesn't expect to see these men anymore, the leadership of Ephesus, the elders. So he's just pouring out his heart to them. This is his farewell address. So Paul gives the Ephesus leaders some instructions. And he has called to remembrance his life. He said, remember from the very beginning when I came to you, in what manner I came to you, in humility. I came to you in humility, my manner of life. You've seen it. You've seen how I lived my life before you. I didn't hide. I didn't go anywhere else. I wasn't doing things in secret. Everybody saw the way I lived my life towards Jesus. And he has given them example, and he has also given them a pattern for ministry. It was a pattern of consistency, of humility, of boldness, of faith, and of character. And in the midst of all these things, all these trials, all these things, Paul could say, none of these things move me. We went over that last week, right, church? How do we handle these things? Can we say, none of these things move me? None of these, all these things going on in the world, this crazy last 2 years, crazy weather here in this particular area, although that's probably the norm, but anyway, all these things, maybe you've been going through difficulties in your jobs, through ailments, through whatnot, financial difficulties. Listen, if you're grounded in the Lord, if you have the Word of God living in you, if you have the Spirit of God living in you, if you're leaning on Jesus, you could say the same thing. You could say, none of these things move me. Doesn't matter, come what may, I will walk with the Lord. I will have fellowship with the Lord. And in the midst of it all, only God can do this. In the midst of it all, he can give peace to the Christian in the midst of chaos. And maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you haven't. But let me tell you, he does it. And it's amazing. It's amazing because you're in a state of mind where you're thinking, this is going on, this is going on. Man, I should be worried. I should be panicked. Why am I not? And it's almost like you're trying to work yourself up to panic. You know, when God has given you peace, and they're like, wait, this is the peace of God that surpasses understanding that the Word of God speaks of. He is gracious. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul understood that clearly, that Jesus gave himself for Paul individually. Jesus gave himself for you individually. What an incredible thought that God would love us so much that he would leave the glory of heaven to come down and die for me and die for you, that we may have life, that he may forgive us of our sins and give us, wipe away that slate and say, man, you're a new creation. How many of us don't like a new beginning, a new start? Listen, half an hour into my day, I'm like, Lord, give me a new start. And he does that. His mercies are new every day. What would you say if you believed your life was ending soon? If you were gathered together with a group of individuals, your family, your kids. This is your flock. This is your family whom you poured out your life, the Word of God. You've seen them, you've done everything, and now you're not going to see them anymore. What would you say? What would be your words to them? These are Paul's words to them. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day, Paul says, that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. We see in this section of Scripture three therefores in his farewell address. This is one of them. Therefore, right? We all know that saying. Why is it therefore? It means since, because of these things. And what Paul had just said previous, he says, since I am no longer going to be with you, I'm not going to be there to look after you. Since I'm not going to be here, let me declare to you that my conscience is cleared because I have equipped you with God's word. I have taught you all of God's word to the best of my abilities. Paul gave the Ephesians the most precious thing he could give them, the knowledge of the word of God, the full counsel of God. In church, you know that there is nothing more precious we can give our kids, our spouses, our family and friends, the world, than the Word of God. Listen, it is the most precious thing. The greatest thing that we can do is impart that to our kids. Man, and we see the Word of God alive in our family members. When it changes the nature of an individual, we're like, wow. Makes all the difference. When we leave this earth, and by the way, we all will, preferably by rapture, by the way things are going, I'm all for that, you know, we can practice our little jumping up here, you know. I need to jump a little faster than most of you, so, yeah. But, listen, we're all going to leave this earth, and we're taking nothing with us. Nothing. The Bible says that naked we came into this world, and naked we'll leave it. Absolutely. However, when we impart the Word of God to others and they receive it, it changes everything. Psalms 119, in fact, why don't you turn there with me? It's beautiful Psalms, right? It's right smack down the middle of your Bible. Psalms 119, verse 9. Verse 9 says, God's word says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Listen, if you're a young man here today and you're like, man, I'm just a mess. The Bible tells you, first and foremost is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He changes us and he grows us in his words. But here is the question, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, by listening, by obeying, by taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Paul was faithful to teach the word of God to them. And now, it's up to them what they'll do with it. What will they do with God's word? They have been trained up. They have been discipled. And, you know, I'm reminded of when my kids left. You may be able to understand that very well as if your kids are grown and so forth. You know, when our kids leave home, when it's time for them to go out on their own, I just gotta say, I don't understand people that want their kids to leave. Maybe, I don't know, maybe, you know, there's many different aspects to it. Sometimes it's a difficult relationship, I guess. But, you know, I've always, like, I understand they gotta leave. But, man, it breaks my heart. It's bittersweet. And when they leave, man, to me, I'm thinking, Lord, have I done everything that I can? Have I poured out into them your word? Have I been an example to them? Have I lived out your word before them? And when that time comes, it's like, man, I've taught you everything that I can teach you. And I will not be with you to help you from here on. You guys can understand that, right? With our kids. If that time comes and we're like, it's time for you to go. That's what Paul is doing here. Same thing. He says, I poured out into your lives. I have done everything I can. And now verse 28, he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul says, therefore, in light of the fact that I will not be with you anymore, Paul tells the Ephesian elders three things. Tells them, watch out for yourselves. Watch out for the church of God, shepherd and shepherd God's people. Three things. And listen, those in charge of overseeing any area of God's church, the enemy will come after you. This is not a maybe, he might, he could, possibly it will happen. Understand, he will come after you. It's when I share with people, well, first of all, sometimes, you know, it's like, when you see an individual, you see God working in their lives and you share with them, the enemy is already working. As soon as you speak with them, you know that the enemy is already working and you pray for them. Because you know what he's going to do. He doesn't want that individual just diving in and serving the Lord. He doesn't want that individual to be effective for God's kingdom. And I always share, listen, the enemy is going to attack you. And he's going to attack you in the areas that you don't think. Your blind spots. The enemy is like water upon a roof. Wherever there is a crack, that water will seep on in. And Paul says, guard your spiritual lives. The first warning is for the leadership. The first warning is for them. He says, you need to guard your spiritual life. And how do we do that? How do we guard our spiritual life? Well, we need to be in God's word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in fellowship, meaning church, with one another. We need to be breaking bread or eating with one another. And you say, well, what about breaking bread? You know, it's, listen, something happens when we get together as a family of God and we just have a meal together. There's this closeness, bonds form. And all of a sudden we encourage one another. And there's accountability. These steps. Those in leadership are not immune from attacks. It's actually quite the opposite. They are bigger targets. But, you know, the dangerous thing is that sometimes as we serve God, as we start serving the Lord and a little time goes by, we can say, hey, I got this down. I got my program, my routine, I got it down. It can't happen to me. I'm part of the few, the proud, the spiritual Marines. I'm good. That's such a dangerous place to be. Such a dangerous place to be. We can forget the reason why God called us. And I love this verse in the Bible. I go back to it often. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren." Listen, not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the extremely smart intellectual, the strong. God has chosen the foolish, it says, the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. We forget that God uses the weak things, the foolish things, the base things, the despised things. It'd be a good thing for us to remember that. Lord, you said you can use the foolish first in line. The weak first in line. First Corinthians 10:12 also warns us. It says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls." It's a warning. So listen, we hear about this all the time. It happens all the time. And the dangerous thing about leadership is those in leadership, those that are over God's people, is that so often they take so many with them when they fall. They hurt the body of Christ. It's such a sad, sad thing. And when the leader of the home falls, it hurts the family. It hurts your immediate family and it hurts those around. So important that we stand in God's word, that we remember that it is because we're weak that God has called us. And our strength lies in him and not in us. If we're not spiritually nourished, we're going to fall. It is so important that we look after ourselves spiritually before we can look after others. You know, and I remember, I don't like flying, but every so often I get the privilege of going 30,000 feet up in the air and shaking and rattling and, you know, such a pleasurable experience. And one of the things that they have, right, is those masks, those oxygen masks. You guys remember the instructions, right? What do they say? Hey, in case of something, hey, those things drop down. What do? You put them on somebody else first? No, it says you need to put it on yourself first so you can help others. We need to be spiritually nourished so we can nourish others. Secondly, Paul says, watch out. Take heed to the church. To the church of God. It's God's church. It says, watch out for God's precious people. Paul is exhorting the elders, the people that he died for. And as parents, we can understand, listen, what is the most precious thing that we can trust others with? Our children. Right? It's like our kids. We're like, man, I trust you completely. Let me entrust my kids to you, whether it's for a little bit or whether it's whatever it may be. And that's what Paul's saying here. Listen, watch out for the church. I expect you to protect the church, to take care of the church. Jesus expects leaders in the church to guard the church. And whether it is that you're a teacher of the little ones, whether it is men's, whatever it is, elders and so forth, listen, God is going to hold us accountable. God is going to hold us accountable. Why? Because the Bible says that the elder elders, that we're responsible for the souls of God's church, of the body, nourishing. It's a serious matter. It's a serious matter, and God will hold us responsible too. In fact, James says, let not many of you be teachers because you're going to be held to a stricter judgment. Leadership in the church takes on a new responsibility. There's expectations. It's not my expectations. It's God's word that says, this is what is required of you. Third, Paul says, shepherd the church of God. In the Gospel of John, Jesus had told his disciples, hey, you guys go up to Galilee and wait for me. You guys remember what happened, right? You know, Peter being Peter, he says, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old trade. And Peter, since he was a leader, people followed him. And they went off and they went fishing. That's not what Jesus said. He says, hey, you go and wait for me. They went off, they went fishing, and of course, no fruit for their labors. And in the morning, Jesus is standing by the side, and what is he doing? Man, he has some fish and chips already waiting for the guys. He's already got food for them, nutrition. Anyway, you know the story. He tells them, throw the net on one side. They get a big catch, and they realize it's him, and they come, and now they're having breakfast by the sea, and then Jesus speaks to Peter. He takes him aside. And if you would, turn there with me, John 21, verse 15. Peter, Jesus is restoring Peter, and he's calling him out of the secular side of his life, his workplace, his business, once and for all. He already had called him to that, but now he's giving him new directions. And in John 21:15, we read, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? You know, is he speaking of the fish, saying, representing the business? Is he speaking of the other disciples? We don't know, but he says, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. God has called Peter out of being a fisherman to become a fisher of men. He has called him from that side of his life to shepherd God's people. And he gives him instructions. He says, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Elders are to shepherd God's people by his word, by caring for them, by tending to them, by providing sound biblical counsel. Listen, we never want to give our opinion. God has given us his word, and his word is perfect. And we always, always want to refer you back to God's word. Simply put, Paul is saying leaders are to care for their own spiritual walk and protect and lead the church. But Paul does this very strongly. Why does he do this so strongly? What does he tell these leaders? Be watchful. Take a look at verse 29. For I know this. What do you know, Paul? I know this. What is it that you know? That after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. One thing Paul knows, he is certain of, that after he leaves, these savage wolves will arrive. What are they going to do? They're going to come in and devour. They're not going to spare the flock. You know, and how do you identify wolves? Well, sheep eat grass, wolves eat sheep. That's the case for every church of God, especially where the Lord is doing such a work, that wolves will come in. They do come in. Listen, it doesn't happen often, but every so often it happens. You know, and I'm so grateful for the men here that God has brought alongside me, leaders in the church, that, hey, when I don't see something, they see it and address it. But we're to be on guard because we need to take care of God's precious people. And Paul's saying, look, when I leave, be sure of this. They're going to come on in. They're going to sneak in. And from time to time, people get escorted out. You know, I won't share with you, but just take my word for it. Listen, the greatest deterrent of wolves, though, is a great shepherd. And when we share Jesus with people, it deters people. When people come in and you start sharing the word of God, this is church. And it's like, hey, listen, man, this is what God is doing in my life. This is what's going on. Whatever it is, when you share Jesus with others that come in, you'll quickly see that a person that is here for other reasons, all of a sudden there's no interest. They're going to start going that direction. And when they come here and they get the same thing and that thing, they're like, nope, out of here. Then he speaks of men. Besides wolves, there are also men from among you that will rise up that you need to watch out for. Man, that's ugly. It's like, they're saying, really, Paul, from among the church, men are going to rise up? And what are they going to do? They're going to speak perverse things, and they'll draw disciples after themselves. They're going to go and say, hey, here, come and follow me. They're not saying follow Jesus. Come and follow me is what they'll do. Paul loved God's people. And listen, a shepherd of God, an under-shepherd of God, will always point people to Jesus, not to himself. Always. Now, Paul gives us a third therefore. Take a look at verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul once again says, in light of this, keep watch. Remember that for 3 years I warned you with tears. Man, he was concerned with the people. There was a genuine care, and his spirit was grieved knowing that these things would come to pass. So Paul has done everything he can. This is his farewell address. And he says, I've taught you everything that I can. And now he's going to commend them to God. Verse 32, take a look at it. He says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul has poured out into these men. He has equipped them to the best of his ability. And now he hands him over to God and his word. Like I said earlier, there's a time that we do that with our children. We pour into their lives, and now they're leaving home, and we say, Lord, they're yours. Keep them by your word. Grow them. They're yours. Now he's going to close out his farewell address. Verse 33, and I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Paul says, listen, when I was there, I provided for myself. He was a tent maker. He didn't only provide for himself, he provided for those that were with him. His desire is like, man, he wanted to give. He wanted to provide. He didn't want to be a burden. He didn't want in any which way that something that would hinder him giving God's word out. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, he says, that he said it was more blessed to give than to receive. Paul has given the elders, these leaderships, these people, these men from Ephesus, an example, a pattern for ministry. It was a pattern of consistency, humility, boldness, faith, character, and suffering. Suffering. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely. And fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Paul has been preaching to all those in Ephesus, to the leadership. But you know, as we go through this chapter, I mentioned it last week, this chapter is so dear to my heart. We can look at also 1 Timothy 3, you know, Titus 2. There's so many areas, but this one here is so incredible because Paul is preaching to the elders in Ephesus, but he's also preaching to me, and he's preaching to every pastor, every minister, every teacher handling God's word, everyone who's overseeing his church. And one day we're all going to give an account. God has not called us to preach so that people like us, but that people repent and come to Jesus Christ. If people are preaching to make somebody feel better, if preaching themselves, listen, those are men that want to draw the flock to themselves. There is one purpose. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so amazing. It changes lives. And it can be difficult to share. And God's word can be difficult to share, especially in the time we live in, right? We see what's going on in Canada, all over the world. But God's word, we do not compromise God's word. God's word says what it says. God's word calls sin, sin. And that's what we're called to do. And we're going to be held accountable for that. I'm going to close with this, and we're going to have communion together. C.H. Spurgeon said, "Soul winning is the chief business of the Christian minister. Indeed, it should be the main pursuit of every true believer." Listen, and Jesus said, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Amen? Will you pray with me? Father, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you because this sermon was for me, Lord. I pray that it had application for the body here, Lord, for different aspects of their life, their ministry outside of here and their ministry at home and Lord, those that serve here. But Lord, it was a message for me, a reminder, Lord. I pray not only for this church, for ourselves, but I pray for the churches in the area. Lord, I pray that you would uphold, that you would keep all these pastors, Lord, all these men and women serving you wholeheartedly. Lord, that they would be men and women that would not compromise. That they would stand boldly for you in a time when it's not easy and things are going to get harder. That, Lord, we stand with you. May you bless them, Lord. May you keep them. And we just thank you. In your name, Jesus, we pray.